The topic of tonight's shiur is a continuation of some of the halachas, the Basa B'Challa, we started the last couple of weeks. And the set of halachas we were analyzing last week, which I want to continue with this evening, is a special concept in Basa B'Challa called the din of nat bar nat, no same time by no same time. Now, if you look at the Maram HaKamos that you have in front of you, on the first page, you have Maramakam D.
B or D?
D, like in David.
Okay.
And the underlying line brings down Itmar Dogim She'olu Bekara. When it comes to fish, and the fish over here, according to Rashi, were seething hot. They were taken over. Rashi says they just came from a fish roast. They were roschim. They were burning hot. And you took these burning hot fish, she'olu bekara, and you placed them in a plate. And the plate happened to be a plate used for the consumption of meat continuously. And therefore, this plate was used this day in the morning to have a nice hot stew. The plate was cleaned. It was the ben yomo. And later on in the afternoon, you took a hot piece of fish and you placed it on this cold plate. So the halacha is that when you have two surfaces that touch each other, we saw last week, there is the belia that takes place between one surface and the other surface. And since over here, the bottom surface was a cold plate and the upper surface was a hot piece of fish, so the Gemara says in Pesachim, based upon the Pesach halacha, when you have the piece on top hot and the piece below cold, the belia is kedei klipa, which means the fish which is boiling hot absorbs within the surface from the plate the meat flavor contained over there and draws it into the fish. So the question now is this specific fish that has a minimal belia, a flavor of meat which it took from the plate, is this looked upon as fleishik, and therefore usher to eat with milchiks, or is it innocuous? So the Gemara quoted a machlokes. Rav ama asa. Rav says it's prohibited to eat it bekutach with milchiks. Shmuel says mutar lachol bekutach. What are you talking about? You're allowed to eat this fish with milchiks. Kutach is a milchik dip, and the Gemara explains what's their respective rationale. Rav says, Usser, no same time who. There is a transfer of flavor that took place between the fleishika plate and the hot piece of fish, and therefore that represents a continuation of the flavor of the meat in the fish. And in the same way you can't eat meat with milchiks, you can't eat a fish flavored with meat with milchiks. Shmuel says, not it's mutter. Why? Because this is a no same time by no same time who. Because this is not a direct meaty flavor that was absorbed into the fish for meat. It's a secondhand flavor, a no same time by no same time. And when you have secondhand flavors, they are weakened flavors. They're a tam chalash, a tam kalush. They no longer are identifiable as the real meat from which they came initially. And Chazal, according to Shmuel, had a shahasha'ara, that when you bring the flavor of the meat down to such a weakened level, it doesn't have the power anymore when it's combined with milk to cause the Issa of Basa B'Chalav to take place, because the whole Issa of Basa B'Chalav is predicated upon the giving of flavor from meat to milk and milk to meat. But that's only when the flavors are powerful enough to accomplish this. Chazal had a Kabbalah, according to Shmuel, that when you have a double root flavor, the teh flavor became so weak, so kalush, that it no longer has the halachic concept of the din of nat banat. It has to be here. Huh? Has to be. This is another one. It no longer has the halachic concept, the halachic yisod of nat banat. And therefore, since it no longer has the halacha yisod of nat banat, therefore, technically speaking, Chazal therefore says, since it no longer has the halachic status of meat, he therefore would not prohibit this on any level, even a rabbinical level, to have this fish consumed later on with fleishiks, with milkus, forgive me, because the flavor is no longer recognizable. And the Gemara on quotation E on the same blot tells us, at the end of the day, Hilchasa, Dogim Sha'alu Bekara, Mutul Achlam Bekutach, we paskin that way. And I pointed out that when we started going into the sugya, to turn to page number 3 of the Maram Mekamas in front of you, and I brought the Orech HaShulchan in Simon Tzadikei, who deals with this like he does with everything else in Shulchan Arech, and he points out that this concept, this specific yesod, is unique to basar b'chalav. It doesn't apply to non-kosher flavors. He says very explicitly, when it comes to a piece of meat, in this case, let's say, for instance, a piece of fish that would be put in a plate that was used to eat in the veilin trefa that day, where the flavor is a tam iser. If this piece of fish would then later on, technically speaking, end up in a circumstance that later on, what you have over here is that the hot piece of fish on the tray from the veil of plate picks up a flavor kadei klipa. When it comes to the halachas of kashrus, even though it is a worn down flavor, the halach is, since the flavor is still nicker, it will still be identifiable as a non-kosher flavor. And I cannot eat that fish, period, with anything, because it's still considered a non-kosher flavor. It's only by basar b'chalav, where each flavor is permissible in its own right, and it's only the combination of both which creates the chefs of isa, and that is the isa basar b'chalav. If I can prevent the flavors from having ability to effectively impact upon each other by weakening the flavors, then the isa has never been created, and the prohibition doesn't apply, whether on a Torah level or a rabbinical level. And that is a kunst that applies to basar b'chalav. It doesn't apply to treifas and anything else. And Orech HaShulchan on page number 3 quotes the Ran in Masechtas Chulin over here, saying this explicitly. I want to show you a little piece over here that if you look where it says very explicitly, Halacha Beis on the right hand side, Zeh Yisod Not Banat. This is the Yisod Not Banat. The kol ki ha'gavna sha'maychel bala mekli basa, that the maychel absorbed from a meat vessel, ben yoma, which is the plate, mutar lecha ha'maychel hazeh im chalav, mushum de nikla sha'tam, because the flavor has been weakened, v'havi noisein tam by noisein tam, is therefore a second diminished flavor. Why is the second diminished, Rabbi Yisai? So just think of this for a second. When the meat, which was hot meat, was placed upon the plate, so one flavor transfer took place from the meat to the plate itself. Later on, when you put the hot fish on that clean plate, you have now a second transfer flavor from the interior of the plate into the surface and interior of the fish. So you have a what's called a not by not type of flavor, that the meat therefore, by the time it goes into the fish, its ultimate destiny to the fish is called upon as a secondhand flavor. So go back into the Orech HaShulchan. He says, the ein din zerak b'basar b'chalav, this is unique to basar b'chalav, chalav and basar, the chavin the tam shnei akati shel hetahu, since both of them are permissible flavors, the iklish kulahai, and the flavor has been weakened to such a level, l'choshev lesar, therefore the flavor is no longer important enough to cause the prohibition of meat and meal to take place anymore. Alva b'davar isa. But if we were dealing with a non-kosher flavor absorbed in that plate, kol heichad ikatama, as long as you still can prove that the flavor of the non-kosher food is still nicker in that which was absorbed in it, even second remove, oisa tsef olam, it's prohibited until the end of this world. It's prohibited all the way to the end. And therefore, halach lamasa, that isa, technically speaking, would maintain its prohibited status itself. Its prohibited status. And therefore, let me just finish over here and we'll get to some more Maram HaKamas. Let me just finish what I want to do over here. And therefore, he therefore says over here that when it comes to therefore non-kosher food, this kula would not apply. And he quotes the Ran. Kaven to Gederish Bishlava Isav Acha Bishlava Mayim and also Menamayim Lamaychal Tzorach Samech Kinekol Mayim. When you basically cook in a pot something usser, and then you cook something else in that pot later on with water, and it places the flavor from the pot into the water, and the water into the Maychal. In order for the Maychal itself, Alach Lamasa, to not be impacted, you need Samech Kineged Hamayim, 60 times Kineged the flavored water with the non kosher food's flavor, in order to mevatel it. And if that, and if you don't have that, it's as if the Gufa Isa was basically absorbed into that which was cooked in the pot, the Chein La'olam. So if that's the case, this kula, this leniency applies to not bernato, heter beheter, it doesn't apply to the din of machalas asuris itself. Now, what I wanted to show you last week, and I did show you this last week, is that the concept of not bernat, going back to the case we had over here, is dogim she'olu bekara. Those dogim, according to Shmuel, can be eaten later on with milchik. So the question is, when the medium of transit took place between the plate, the meaty plate, and the piece of fish, was it the case that the Gemara quotes a hot piece of fish on a cold meat plate? Or is there another manifestation of this? So I brought last week a three-way machlokas concerning this issue, and the three-way machlokas had major nafkaminas halach lamasa. If you look, Rabbi Yisrael, we're going to just read again halach hey, just to refresh your memories. There are a lot of people who weren't here last week, so it's unfair for me to go further unless I bring you up to where everybody else is, so be able to flow and go get with me tonight as we go to the next level. So in the actual halachic text of the Arach HaShulchan, the Arach HaShulchan, quite obviously speaking, is going to summarize for us, as I showed you last week, the three shittas Rishonim concerning the practical application of the Gemara itself. And let's read it inside once again very quickly just to see the synopsis, so I can build upon that tonight and go even further. So the Arach HaShulchan says, on Halacha Hey, Yesh l'Rabbeinu Gimel Shitas B'din Nat Bernat. There are three different shitas when it comes to Nat Bernat. And what's shita number one? This is, I would say, the primary shita. Ein chilek kesh'alu ha'dogem roschim l'kara shabasa u'bein shebishlo sam b'kara otzolo sam b'kara. I don't care, it doesn't make a difference whether the meat plate was a plain cold meat plate or the meat plate wasn't a meat plate. It was a meat pot. And what I did is I placed a hot piece of fish into a cooking meaty pot that was used that day that was cleaned out and washed out. But it's a ben yomo. So therefore, the fish was ultimately cooked in a meaty pot that's a ben yomo that was clean from meat. Or case number three, that the meaty plate was not a plate or a pot, but a skillet. And what I did is I took a piece of fish, hot fish, and what happened was the hot fish itself was put upon a meat skillet that was totally cleaned and washed off from using it that day in the morning to make a nice roasted piece of meat. In all these cases, according to Shitas Rav HaRishonim, and he quotes this in Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, the Riyaz Zakein, and Rashi, not Rashi, but the Rambam's opinion, in all these cases, you have a second removed flavor. Why? Because whether it's the meaty plate, or the meaty pot, or the meaty skillet, by the time the fish connects with it, the fish is receiving a secondhand flavor. Because in all of these three cases, the meat gave the flavor to the plate, the meat gave a flavor to the pot, the meat gave a flavor to the meat skillet, and later on, when you finally put the fish on top of it, that fish now is receiving a secondary absorption, which is called a knot from a knot, the nosin tam. So according to these Rishonim, in all three categories, even though one is more intense than the next when it comes to absorption, the kula not by not applies, and that is Shitas Rav HaPoskim, as we showed you last week, but I have to show you the two other Shitas for those who were not here last week to understand what those Shitas are, because there's a nafkamina halacha lamasa. I want you to know that Rav Yosef Karo, the Mechaber, happens to paskin like this Shita. The Rambam held this way. Rav Yosef Karo, who's the great Sfadah Shagagal, paskin this way. And therefore, he was of the opinion that all three mechanisms generate not bernat for the kula of not bernat to be applicable. We then have the second shita, which he brings, Yesh Aimrim, Dafka Alu, only when you put a hot piece of fish on a cold plate. Avalon is bashal, but not when it was cooked, and surely when it wasn't roasted there. The Sha'alu Bakara Sechas, Labalu Dogan Raka, the Klipa, Vabliya Mu'etes, Vizet Tiru, Napanat. Avalon is bashal Bakara, and I want to eat even, and surely, Bitsalu, Nivil Kalatam, Bashal Bakara, Lahet Tiru, Bazen Napanat. And this is the Shita Rabbi Isai of the Rivan, which is Rashi's son-in-law, the Shem Rashi, name of his Hishver. So it means Shita's Rashi, brought down by his son-in-law, is that the Gemara's case is taken not only literally, but exclusively. It's Dogim She'olu Bekara, that's a cold meat plate. There, since the Bliya is most a Kedei Klipa, there Chazal extended the leniency that once you have that created, you can eat that with milchiks, but anything more intense, where they were cooked together, and surely where they were nitzla b'yachad, or they were fried together, where you have a greater absorption taking place, there Chazal never gave the leniency of not by not to be able to eat that specific fish together with milchiks. That shitas rivan b'shem Rashi. And then finally, there is a third shita, and that is the shita of the Baal HaTchuma, which he brings as the third shita. And that is, as far as this shita is concerned, it's by Dagan Sh'alu Bekara, Shenes Baushal Bekara, that the het applies. It's only by Nitzlu that Chazawa Machmir, because over here they feel by being tzola, a piece of fish, on a meat skillet, there the intensity of the absorption is so intense, there Napanat doesn't work. But when you're basically cooking it in a meaty pot, and surely when you're putting on a meaty plate, there the bli is much less, and the cooler applies. So I pointed out last week that even though Reif HaPeskim, and Reif HaKaro happens to Paskin this way, if you look, Rabbi, I just want to show you in the Shulchan Aruch, which I didn't show you last week, but I wanted to show you this week, so you should be able to see this inside. If you look, Rabbi Yisai, I'm going back to the first page of the Maamar Kamos, quotation G. Please look at quotation G. It says the following: Dogim shen is bashlu, o shen itzlu b'teirish abasa rechutz yofer, which means you did this in a pot, in a vessel that's been washed well. Ain shum shum in davik bar. There's no fat residue from the meaty usage before. So the hafla is mutul achla b'kutach. You're allowed to eat this later on with milchus mishum to having now same time by now same time the hetera. And then he brings that, if it was a rechutz yofer, then you have to see halach lamasa, whether it was a batel b'shishim of the fish against the mamashas on the top of the plate, but I'm not even going to get into that. What I just want you to show you is that Rav Yosef Karo, in his Psak Halacha, holds it applies to all three, like the Shita of the Rambam and the Shita of Rabbi Natam and the Riyazaken mentioned in Halacha Hey of the Arecha Shulchan. It's the Ramah who basically mentions Archum. If you look, Rabbi, sit down. Where I'm pointing now with my finger. See where I'm pointing on my finger? So the Ramah, who represents put obviously the Minig Ashkenaz, is on Minig Leser Lechachil B'Dev Mutar. He then said, let me just find the place I want to show. Oh, Yesh Machmirim, right above, before the bottom, and G towards the end. Yesh Machmirim B'Tzliya B'Shul Leser Nosin Tam Nosin Tam. If you notice, who does have in parentheses? This is the Rivan B'Shem Rashi. There are those who could obviously say we should practice that way. And haminig leso lechakila, and the minig is in fact is the follow shita's Rashi in the Rivan initially, which means not to allow napanat to be used in anything except in the case of dogim she'olu bekara in a cold plate, and to aser even the havamina of using a tzli or bishul mechanism when it comes to the din of napanat. But the eved, if you already mix together the fish with milchiks, according to the Ramah, which means I already mixed it together after I did Sli and Bishol, and even though I shouldn't have mixed it together, but I mixed it together, violating Rashi and the Rivan, I could be Samech B'Dieved on the Shitas Reva Poskim, that there's no Nafkimidi between Sli, Bishol, and Olu Bekara, and B'Mata B'Dieved, that Taruvis, for the purposes of consumption. So we have over here, just to bring everybody up to par, because I want to build on this tonight, is we therefore see that of the three Shitas HaPoskim, the one that is looked upon is Shitas Reva Peskim, is the Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri, and the Rambam. Dogush Olam Bekara applies to all three contingencies. cold plates, hot pots of meat, and frying skillets of meat. In all three cases, the kula napanat applies. It's Rashi, Bishay, and the Machava passes that way. The meaning of the Ramah is, quoting Rashi, who is quoted by his son-in-law, the Rivan, is that Rashi held lichatila, that we should not even entertain the kula of tzli and bishul when it comes to napanat, only entertain the concept, as the Gemara says, dogim sh'ol bakar in a cold plate, where the bli is milik de klipa, that if you created that, that b'di'evet halach lamasa, once you've created it, you can eat it together with milchiks. But if you created b'di'evet a tzli or bishul circumstance, you can't eat that together with milchiks. It's only if I already mixed it with milchiks, I can rely upon shitas reif ha-paiskem. That's the shitas ha-ramo, which we basically hold light. And what I pointed out last week, towards the end, is that this whole lumdus of not barnat is very, very misunderstood. Because if you look very carefully in what I just said, and that you hear what I just said, on one hand, I'm talking about b'di'evet. On the other hand, I'm talking about lechatchilas. And what I want to explain to you tonight, which wasn't clear last week because some people didn't comprehend it, is that the Gemara already, in its phraseology, shows you the enigma of this in its phraseology. What do I mean? Because it says, dogim sha'alu bekara, what's the psak alacha? Mutul achem bekutach. Now, alu is a b'di'evet. Mutter is lechachila. And I pointed out for those who didn't see me during the week that when you go back to the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef quotes the same phraseology of the Gemara, and the Beis Yosef quotes in his Perish to Shulchan Aruch in the Torah, he says that the Smag, the Maram Marutenberg's Talmud, the Hagas Maimonides, quoting his Rebbe, the Smag, all major Rishonim point out, since the Gemara says, Dogim She'olu Bekara, what that means is I have no right initially to pre-plan this morning that I want to use a fleishik a plate, or a fleishik a pot, or a fleishik a skillet, to cook a piece of parva food, to purposely eat it later on with milk. Because I can't have that pre-machshav in the morning, because if I had that pre-machshav in the morning, none of this heta would be halachically applicable, even b'di'evet, and I'll show you that inside. It's only if, in fact, I did what I did, which means I initially put the fish in the skillet, in the plate, in the pot, thinking I'm going to eat the fish either by itself or in a fleishik meal. And once I created it, I then realized, wait a minute, I don't want to have fleishiks today. I want to have milchiks. So the question now is, now I have a piece of what seems to be para fish that was manufactured or placed in a fleishik, a pot, skillet, or a plate, can I reroute it to eat it with milchiks? So the Gemara says, once you've created this entity, not purposely to eat it with milchiks, but it's in front of you, then I can lechachila eat it with milchiks afterwards, since it's already in existence, and I didn't have the machshavra to do this initially. I want to show you what the Aruch HaShulchan does to, not his opinion, but to basically quote the consensus of poskim that deal with this. He says, Malashin had Gemara, from the Lashin of the Gemara near its appearance, Lehedya, explicitly, the Binyana, the not banat, when it comes to this concept, Yesh Masha Asa Lechachila, there are certain halakas that are Asa Lechachila, Rak Bidi Evet Mutter, and only Mutter Bidi Evet, the Yesh Masha Mutter Lechachila, that which is Mutter Lechachila, and that is what? And he explains, to put fish purposely in a meaty plate, to eat them up front, knowing I'm going to eat it with milchiks. Also, that's surely also with premeditated machshav to do this. And the proof is, now he's not quoting himself. This is what the Rishayim I just quoted before say explicitly, and why the Gemara phrased it that way. Kolaymar, b'di'evik is sha'alu. That's the halacha of what you can do with it. Alvo, well, listen to this. Alvo em alu, that if in fact you did create it already, with no previous machshava for any malicious intent, once you've created this fish, which has a double flavor removal of meat contained in it, muta means, muta lachachila, la'ochlam bekutach lachachila, ולכן אומר הש"ס, מותר לאכלם בקותח, ומותר הבי לך אכילה. וזה על פי הסברה שכתבנו בסימן צדיה, סעיף י"ח, דלעניין אכילה סמאכל לא שייך לך אכילה עין שם, ויש מי שאומר, listen to this, שם עשה לך אכילה הכנס הדוגן בקר, that if I purposely took the fish to put them into the kara של basa, כדי לאכלם בקותח, that if I did that maliciously, purposely, trying to rely upon this kula, kansinalei, we put a kanas upon the person, shelo yochlem bekutach, we don't allow you to use that lechachila. If I purposely, knowing up front, created this entity, this double remove, power of a food, with a weakened flavor, with the purpose of makshav up front, to eat this with milchiks later on, that pateres kanas, we would not allow you to eat this kutach. If you notice in the parentheses, he's quoting the Pri Chadash in the name of a sefer called Minchas Kohen. I gave you a copy of the Minchas Kohen last week when we saw each other in the street. Minchas Kohen is one of the Kadmonim, the Achrayim, who wrote a sefer Minchas Kohen on three sugyas in Shas that became an historical, the main piece written on these topics. Taruvis was written by the Minchas Kohen. He had a piece on Bein HaShemoshes and a piece on Muksa. Later on, all the later Gedolei Achrayim quote from him as the master source on what he wrote concerning this. So the Pri Chadash quotes the Minchas Kohen holding, if I did this maliciously affront to purposely use this heter, I can use the heter. However, he says, Yesh mi shechelek bezeh. The Pri Chadash did not happily agree with him. Since the whole thing is the hachalka b'chalal, why make things more chomer than they have to be? However, the Archa Shulchan says, between these two dayas, the Minchas Kohen and the Pri Chadash, Nirik de Harishayni, he passes l'chumer like the Minchas Kohen, shalom lahargil be'isa. So between the two opinions, if you ask the Mishela, as a Rav in the Shtat, he would say, this, since the Chazal created this as only a b'de'evit response to the situation, but not a l'chachila endeavor, if you violated that protocol and you created it initially, he would not allow you to eat with milchiks, and because you're violating the whole concept of the underpinning of this Chazal's concept, and he would not allow you b'de'evit to do it. This is basically his opinion, and I would say by a good group of poskim agree with him when it comes to Pesach Halacha. Now, what I showed you last week... What? This, the basically speaking, the Gemara doesn't mention anything about Kenas.
Well, the Gemara says Mutta.
Yeah. Mutta means, but Mutta only Olu.
Yeah.
Olu, oh yeah.
So that's where he's getting
it. Yeah. Says, he's making a diuk that if you violated and did a lechachila, the heter wouldn't apply. You know, Mechlal Hain. That's basically, if you do a double lechachila, that's not what the Gemara. The Gemara allowed a b'di'eved followed by lechachila. And therefore, if you violate that protocol and you want to do two lechachilas, that is basically not permitted by the Gemara. It's an assumption that that's what the Gemara would say. It's interesting. The Pri Chadash is one of the great brothers of the post and didn't want to go that far. It was a debate. But Rosh says, if he asks my humble opinion, to be machri between these two kadmonim, I agree with the Minchas Kohen against the Pri Chadash when it comes to this specific issue. What I want to accentuate is the following, and that is in all of these halachas we're discussing now, we were talking about a plate that was a ben yomo, a pot that was a ben yomo, and a griddle, or some type of roasting surface that was a ben yomo. And Alpha Pekin says, it's a not by not, we allow the kula b'di'eved once it's been created to be used. Now the obvious question is, which the Gemara doesn't discuss, what happens if we raise the ante and the plate we're dealing with over here is an Eina Ben Yomo? Or the pata Eina Ben Yomo? Or the skillet's an Eina Ben Yomo? Where we have the added phenomenon of Nosein Tam Lev Gam. Now I would have said, you would have said, Api Sfara, that once you add that into the picture, then maybe even lechachila you should be allowed to create the not by not, because we're now dealing with not only double remove flavor, but we're dealing with the flavor that's been reduced to a tam pagum. So if you're talking about a tam kalishta, this is really what we call an overkill. And therefore, I would have said up isvara here, there should be a double lechachila. I would have thought so. So if you look in halacha tests, we read this very quickly last week. I didn't have a chance to medayik, but I want you to reread with me halacha tests again. And you'll see that that's not the way they paskim. This is from a sefer called Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Al Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, written by one of the Achreinim. This is really a study guide that the guys in the yeshiva, once they went through Shach and Tazis and Primagadims on Shulchan Aruch before Smicha. So this gentleman did everybody a favor, and he made a chazara on all of them in a very mesudadik way. And on the bottom, he tells exactly which shach and which tazes he quotes in the Prima Gadim. So he did it on four areas that Rabbanim gets smicha on. He did it on Basar V'Chalav. He did it on Taruvis. He did it on Hilchis Malicha. He did it on Hilchis Nida. So if you want to do a chazara on those sugyas, after gone through Shulchan Aruch, it's tremendous. The amount of haskamas he has over here is amazing, because the fact of the matter is, there's no chiddush over here. He's merely quoting source by source, just as a way, you know, to masad in your mind, instead of you having to make the outline, he already made the outline. This is the cliff notes when it comes to the Bechina of Basar V'Chalav. I hate to say that, but that's what it ends up being. Now, what? It's called Kitzer Shulchan Aruch Al Basar V'Chalav. That's what it's called. Now, in halacha test, listen to what he says. V'kol ma shekasavnu davka kashli ben yama. All the halachic strictures I mentioned before is when the kli is a ben yama. Avo ein hakli ben yama. But if the kli that the actual fish or the parvas of it was placed in is not a ben yama, hadin kach, the din is the following. And once again, he says, if you look on the bottom, he's now going to ibechaza what the Ramah and the Chacham Adam says in this sugya. Listen to this. The af shela chachila as lavashel. To me, this is the pella that the Ramah and the Chacham Adam both said that even when you filter in an eina ben yoma, there's still an isa lachachila pella ployim to create initially the concept of not panat. The alu b'kara, the b'devet concept, applies to whether it's a ben yoma, applies even ain't a ben yoma, a pisvara, I and you sitting over here would not have said it, but he claims that the Ramah and the Chachmas Adam, quoting the Poskim, say there's no difference.
Maybe because it's not a visual, you can't actually see.
It could be, it's Pashtas.
You can't
it's,
tell the difference.
No, it's so Pashtas.
Therefore the Gzeira is
it's a No, it's called the Pashtas of low plug, that's what it is. It's a low plug.
Yeah, okay.
So the Av Shel HaChachila. What? And Afal Pikein. And Afal Pikein. And even though we use that as a kula, and most of the Piskei Halachas is fakus, over here we're not filtering that in as a kula. It's like a low plug. The Av Shel HaChachila Asa Lavashal Parava Bekli Chalav She'ena Ben Yoma Kisharot Sal Arvo in my Basam Amish. Even though I can't do this LaChachila, Al Kapan nevertheless, if I made that piece of fish with meaty flavor that's a napanat, or I made that potato with the meaty flavor napanat, this is interesting. So the obvious question is, so why is this different than a ben yoma? Now, what do we be marviach by the fact it's an ain a ben yoma? Is there some type of permissibility? So he says, ubezek kal she'en ben yoma. We learned Rabbi Isai that when it comes to a ben yomo, we're machmir nishal ashitas Rashi quoted by the Rivan, that if it was cooked or fried or roasted, we don't rely upon napanat to allow you to eat that parva substance with milchix. That's when it's a ben yomo. So therefore, we only allow you, if it was placed in a cold plate, meaty plate, to eat that lachachila later on with milchix. But it was cooked, or it was roasted, or fried, skilled. In that case, we halach lamasa, following Rashi, quoted by the Rivan, halach lamasa would not allow this. However, that's only when it's a ben yoma. The b'kli ben yoma, filum kvar bishul ba'apar v'asal arva lachilam v'asa. Rak b'di eved, only but the evidence, if I mixed it together, I rely upon Shitas Rova Poskim, Rabbein Atam, Lurim Rambam, to allow it to go through. However, Bekli She'ena Ben Yomo, Im Kavanis Pashel, if I already cooked it, which means I already created the Naparnat, Mutel Lechachila La'avo, Im Basa B'mikrat Tzarech, even if the flavor transfer took place initially, not only by Ola Bekara, but by Bishol and Tzli. So in the mind of the Chacham HaSadim and the Ramah, this is very important, that when you're dealing with a pot that's an Eina Ben Yomo, that once, in fact, you cooked it or fried it, this power of a substance in this plot or on the skillet, and you have a noisin by not flavor absorbed inside, that in that case, since you're dealing with the Eina Ben Yomo kli, that allows you lechachila to eat it together with milchiks, something that would not be permissible if you started off over here with the Ben Yomo kli, where there halach lamas according to Shitas Rashi, quoted by the Rivan, if it's cooked or it's fried, we would not allow you lechachila to mix it with milchiks. The Eina Ben Yomo adds this kula in this specific case. But from here we therefore see that what this does is it adds another lechachila. When it comes to the initial combination with purposely creating this from the very outset, according to even by Eina Ben Yomo, to create even with an Eina Ben Yomo, not pranat, to eat with milchiks, even if it's Eina Ben Yomo, it's still considered only b'di'evet and not lechatchila. So that still stays in place. It's only the heter to rely upon bishul and tzli, and Eina Ben Yomo to combine it with milchiks later on, lechatchila, that the Eina Ben Yomo is mavich something we weren't able to have without it. I didn't have a chance to do this last week. Now that you're hearing this a second time, ibechazering, it starts now to cling to your head and you're able to see this inside. Now, what I want to show you, let me just go turn the page to page number 6. I'm now going to deal with it, Rabbi Sinai, with Dava Charif. I started this last week, but I wanted to show you some chidushim tonight on Dava Charif. If you look on page 6 on the left-hand side of the page, we're now going to add into the mix over here the substance itself that is being cooked in this pot is a Dava Charif, a sharp object. And let's see what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Ein din nosein tam b'nosein tam noeg b'Dava Charif. The concept of not by not, the way we interpret up until now, doesn't really have too much power in the cooler way when it comes to a sharp object, a very pungent object, like onions is an example. Perish, hadava, in bishla bechli hachalavi noki. If I cooked in a very clean milchika kli, it's a ben yomo, dava parava charif, like a simple parava onion. Okay? Harei hadava acharef nasa chalavi. Over here, this is dava charef. We no longer look upon this as a not par not, but we look upon the dava charef pulling out a flavor from the kli, as if it's tam rishon, not tam sheni. That the dava charef upgrades the flavor, and therefore he says harei hadava acharef nasa chalavi. Vafilu im b'di'evet, even in b'di'evet, nisavev mabasar. I would take this part of an onion that was cooked in a ben yomo pot, and I would then mix it with meat. Us, there would be us, as if I mixed it with milchus itself. V'chein lehepech in bishlo davachar b'siyah b'sari. If I cooked a davacharif in a fleishika pot, us afilu b'di'evet. If us b'di'evet, im esave b'chalav. V'hatam lezeh. It is so strong. It takes out the flavor that's absorbed in the kli. It's tam rishon. It's not a second removed flavor. It's not weakened. Once again, on the bottom, if you notice, he quotes the Ramah and the Chacham HaSadim as the source for this summary. So that's chumra number one. It won't make a difference, because when it comes to over here, it doesn't make a difference. Tasting will not be malamor when it comes to this. You'll see what tasting has a factor when we go to the next couple halachas. Vot chumra yesh b'dava charif. Listen to this. Da'afilu kashli ain't a ben yomo. That even if the kli itself, Rabbi Yisai, is not a ben yomo, Dinuka ben yoma, which means adding nice and time of gam doesn't work by davar charef, because it makes it, ultimately speaking, a non-entity, vatam. The bechol klish ene ben yomo hasibesh anu makilim. The reason we make it normally, mishum shetam bogim, because since the tam becomes ene ben yomo becomes destroyed, mekuk la tam ene shakul habasav chalav lesser. But kishetam bogim zeh nichnas b'dav acharif, when it goes into a sharp, pungent object like an onion, hadav acharif mashpicha umesakno, it literally resurrects the flavor. Forgive me for the term. For having no same tam l'shvach. It's a nice and timely shvach. Well, again, dover charef shen is basha bechli baser bein shu ben yama b'sheina ben yama asa filu ben evel oichalam chalav ahudin lehepich. So this is another chum you have when it comes to the din of a dover charef, that that the din of heina ben yama nice and gam does not help you in this type of circumstance. Halacha yomegi, he gives you some examples of dvarim charefim, chaimetz, vinegar, mayim aluchim, all very very salty waters. But salam, onions, shumin, garlic, known radishes, schrein, mirakas, achrif, all the various types of sharp vegetables, dog herring, a fish, a herring, malafim, certain types of melons, shenich b'shu v'heim charifin, tavlin, certain types of spices, v'yesh basifin, aflimanim, tipuchim, chamutzim, very bitter types of lemons or apples, ukiyotze b'hem, these have a din of dvaram charifim. But now, Rabbeisai, turn the page. The next two halachas you're going to find interesting. It says in halacha Zayin on page 7 on the right hand side, kol elu, and this is important. Now we're going to come to your question of bitul hatam. Kol elu nechshal l'dav acharif dafka im bishlum b'fnei atzman, which means if I only cook the onion with water or cook the onion with the pot, and that's the combination over here. The halachas I just mentioned are mentioned. Oshem roiva tafsho, or the majority of the tafsho. Avim bishlo asam im harbi mayim. But if I put some onions in a pot, but there was a lot of water in volume connected those onions, ribui hamayim mevatun charipusam, the proliferation of water undermines in atka the sharpness of the onion. This is brought once again the Ramah and the Chachmas Adam. The chayim b'chol bishul im nasim b'sech machal. If I put, for instance, the onion into food, cooking in a pot, let's say I have a gefilte fish or whatever it might be, chometz or batzel, kevin shehem hamiyut, since they're the minority of the contents, v'avir rak l'tabam, and they're only being put in to add a little flavor, ein l'dava habiz bashul din dava chavif. You don't turn a flavored piece of gefilte fish with water because it has little onions into a davar charif. The normal halachas apply over there. L'chein, b'bishul dogamash, when it comes to cooking fish, af shenostim betavshol melech, v'sugim shoynim shodvarim charifin, u'b'chol ofen ribu hamayim v'hadogim mevatun charipusam, they join together mevatun charipusam, v'ein din davar charif chal al tavshol zeh, etc. etc. So it's interesting, the whole din of davar charif was only if I don't have any other types of substance to counterbalance that flavor. But what's that thing to counterbalance? That's when flavorability kicks in and could obviously butl kenegdo works. Now, halacha hey, you're going to find fascinating. This is interesting. The af shebianu, the bedav acharef shen is bashe begedera, dino ketam rishon mamish. We learned before that that prevents it from being a nosen tam by nosen tam. It makes it like tam mamish. B'chol ofen le'inya mashe gozu chachamim, shetzarech lahamtim ben basa v'chalav. The 5 hours, the 6 hours, the 3 hours, whatever hours you wait between meat and milk, kishir zman shebein suda l'suda, ein din davar charef shenisbashu b'gedera shel basaris kebasa mamish. If I had a geshmaka fried onion that was fried in a meat skillet without meat, and it's a ben yoma kedema or yena ben yoma, so the question is, once I eat that onion, am I now fleshed for the next 6 hours? So zok there, the halach is, ein tzarech lahamtin achra klal. It's not considered fleshik to the point I have to wait the 6 hours. V'yolcha melad l'echom achle charev achra zeh. I can surely eat milchus afterwards immediately. This is shitas Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger says in his parish to Shulchan Aruch a very simple reason. What?
Would that be a tekana?
No, for a different reason. Because the whole reason waiting between meat and milk was because of either because the bus is ben shinayim, shitas harambam, or because the fat and the essence of the meat takes a long time to digest, it's meishich betamai. That applies to real meat. It doesn't apply to a weakened flavor of meat that's absorbed into an onion. So therefore, there's no reason to apply a chumras chazal with a metzias. Doesn't even come close to what was initially a chumra anyway. So you're making a chumra yaserta on bechlal a hachaka rechaik. It's literally bizarre. So that you don't do. And that's what Rabbi Kivega says in his mind is a davar pashit. Now, but the problem is, so you're telling me that the onion is not that fleishik. It's not that fleishik. But so it's a little fleishik. But what's the main thing? How far can you go? He says, Amnon, im achal basa mamish. What happens if I ate a geshmaka piece of meat? I then want to have a davar charef after the meat, which happened to be cooked in a milchika pot. So now the question is, I'm going now from fleishiks to that, because the davar charef now has a tam rishon of milchus contained inside. Yesha kusfu, there are those who hold, and if you look on the bottom, he's quoting the Prima Godim, and he brings other shitas of other poskim. If you want to really interested, look in the Darche Tshuva, he'll give you a whole list of shitas of poskim. Yesha kusfu, that in this type of case, tzorach lahamtin eshir hazman harogel shemim basa l'chalav, I have to wait that. Now over here, Rabbi Isai, what I can only think as a way of explaining this lundus to you is this goes back to what I showed you last week in the beginning, that our chumr that we have when it comes to basa and chalav in sequence in suga not only applies to actually meat and milk, but our chumr, which the Ramak was in Shulchan Aruch, applies even to tafshil shabasa eaten first and tafshil shachalav afterwards. What's tafshil shabasa? I cooked a part of a substance with meat, I removed the meat, and I have therefore the potatoes left behind, so you have tamo belima masha, the flavor without the essence of the meat. I cooked something with milchiks, and I then took off all the milchiks. I have the flavor of milchiks contained inside, but there's no milchiks left inside. That's called tafshil shabasa, tafshil shachalav. Where the mechaber, the sakaro, does not treat that as basa and chalav, and it doesn't make the chumras of waiting 6 hours. The Ramah says, our midig as Ashkenazim is to treat tafshil shel basa as basa, and tafshil shel chalav as chalav, and therefore the hachak is, whether you wait 6 hours or five or three, that you wait between basa and chalav applies to that. What is that teaching you? That when you have tamo belima masho, but the tam came directly from meat, and the tam came directly from chalav, in that case, what's the halacha, Rabbi Isai? We treat it as meat mamish, we treat it as milchus mamish. So what he's saying over here very simply is that if I had real meat first, and then I want to eat afterwards a par of a substance that was cooked in the milchus pot, that's a davar charef, what he's saying is that it could be that the davar charef is so sharp that the flavor, therefore, that it extracts with the milk inside should be treated no worse or less than tafshil shachalav. And the same way, in that halach, you have to wait the 6 hours, you would have to wait 6 hours over here. That's one shita. The other shita would be that maybe no. Tavshel shachalav, the flavor intensity and belia, mamish came from milchiks directly. Over here, when it comes to the din of an onion that's cooked in the milchik apat, it's true, the davar charef might take out a gavaldik flavor, but it didn't cook directly with milchiks. So this should be perhaps a level lower than tavshel shachalav, which would therefore not require the 6 hour hamtana between fleishiks and it. So that's where the game is being played over here. Do we compare a davar charef with a milchika flavor like the din of tafshil shachalav or not? If we compare it to tafshil shachalav, so tafshil shachalav after tafshil shabasa, we learned the chumra of the ramah is with machmir. If we treat the case of a davar charef in a milchika pot not as strict as tafshil shachalav, but on a lower level, because you didn't have the actual milchiks directly connected to this substance, like by tafshil shachalav, then the achok of 6 hours would be meat, and that would not apply. That's why it says there are shittas when it comes to this. How far the chazal goes there when it comes to davar charef? That's why he brings down multiple dayos. Interesting and fascinating. In this little new kuntris, I want to just show you some chidushim when it comes to davar charef and basa b'chalav. Listen to what the Shulchan Aruch says on the left-hand side. He says, his perek bei, shlosh dvarim nemru b'davar charef. The three halachas that were mentioned when it comes to davar charef. Echad, what's number one? Afilu kishu tzone. that even if you're dealing with a cold dovah charif, the halach is it is boleya, it absorbs, umavli, and causes the bleed something else, in a place of dochaka, when pressure is being exerted upon it, kagon shechoschin oso besakin. I'm cutting an onion on a cutting board. That's an example. So what's the halacha? Vasakin dochaka toch kedechi tikaso. That in the actual sakin pushing down on this davar charif, it causes bleias to take place between the cut item and the board that's been cut upon, or between the knife and the item that's been cut, or I'm basically putting in a mortar and banging it away on it. That even if the kli that it's absorbing from is any ben yomo, doesn't make a difference. We saw that tchias amesim, and a megimel. Ein boheta shall not banat the agav chafirusa because of the sharpness of the vegetable. Motzi hatam atzmo habalu bekli. It takes out the flavor in the kli. If I take a fleishik, a cutting board that's been totally clean, and I would cut an onion on top of it, that would make that onion into a fleishik onion. That's basically what he's saying over here. What? We're going to see. He hasn't got to that yet. We're going to see very shortly. And then he gives the whole list of the Dvar Mecharif, and we already saw this. Now listen to this. Halacha Gimel. Chatech besakin hachalav es davar charif. I cut with a milchik a knife a davar charif, kagon batzel like an onion, shum, or garlic v'chrein. Agav charifusam, because of their sharpness, v'duchika desakina, and the pressure of the cutting surface of the knife, ba'olei ha-davar charif. The Dorachavim absorbs. Tom, turn the page, Rabbi Isai. The flavor of the Cholav Shebesakin. Fenasa Cholavi becomes a Milchika now onion. V'aslo achlo levashlo im basar. V'afilo im asakit. Ene ben yom, it doesn't make it in. The halach is such. Kevish harifusa ma'amash lo tampogim Shebesakin l'shvach. What? No. Davar charif works if it's a boiling hat, davar charif put on a cold surface. Or it's fried or it's cooked. Or if you're taking a cold onion and without doing something to that onion, there's no din of negia. What? No, we're talking before of taking a hot onion and putting on a cold plate. Or here we're talking about taking a cold onion and cutting it with a cold knife. Okay. So he says, Halacha Dalit, Ad Eza Mokam Balei Hadavah Charif. Now we're coming to your question, Farber. To how far does the Bliya take place? As a Tam Achalav Shebesakin, Yesh Oimrim, there's one Shita, the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch, Akadei Shirin Netila, which means, Rabbi say, the thickness of your finger. Ulo Shitasim Nchata Gdavah Charif, Besakin Chalavis, Masbik, and Yachta Kadei Netila, which is 2 centimeters. Mishnei study hamakam shechatach v'ashamut levash lechem achalav. However, he then brings the yesh cholkim, which is the Ramon chachmas adam v'sovim shatam achalav shebesakin mispashet bechol hadav hacharif lo yom mashiachta kedei netila v'makam hachatach v'lishitosim ein lehatel bofen sheish bedav hacharif pishishim pam yosim hasakin v'm yodeya kama ba'orech hasakin nichnas bedav hacharif. You should make that calculation. Except for the handle itself. He brings down halacha vav. What's the halacha? La halacha ono machmir and lechush l'shtei shitos. For ono chush l'shabar l'bekulau. L'chein lo maspik lachto g'day netila. Beis afilam yeshishin shabekulau. Can I get a sakin? Sorach lachto g'day netila. V'atam l'zeh. The Lashitish ain't Davachar Balay al Gdenitila, in can call a chalav shenifla masak, nivla mishir, hamuish gdenitila. It doesn't absorb in the rest of the onion, so the rest of the onion can't join for the bitl. The shom ain't our shishu can get a sack, and the kach sarach lachotro, we take basically both chumris. We therefore see, Rabbi, when it comes to the din of davar charef over here, cutting a cold knife on an onion. This goes back to the question of your father that you said, the two shittas. Some say it's kedei netila. Some say it's blia bekulai.
None say it's
klipa. Yeah, no, not in this case. But the fact is, they're two different dayos, and he says the psak halacha that's conventional is to be machmer like both. Interesting and fascinating.
It seems also that it depends on the density of the chemtza, no? An onion is not like a radish. I mean, they're not making any distinctions in density.
No, they're not making it. And in fact, what he's saying over here that's fascinating is he says, if there are two opinions that when you finally make the cheshbon, how much in the onion is connected to the flavor in the actual blade and displacements. So he says that one sheet says you can take into cheshbon the entire onion. The other sheet is if you say who said kedei netila, he claims the blia only took place in the kedei netila from both sides of the blade. So the rest of the onion past the kedei netila both sides is not even bar b'cheshbon in the bittul itself. So you have now machlekes exactly when you say balaya, is ever balay more than 2 centimeters on both sides, or is balay bakulo, and whether batul b'shishim is figured based upon the kedei netila or the whole thing. So he says we paskin l'chumra, whatever the chumra both, that's what we paskin.
Do you think a food chemist could construct an experiment that would really demonstrate?
You know what's going to happen? He'll develop the experiment, then you have a machlekes on the results. Rabbi Yisai, a good tenach and a good bench tenach. Let's go down to Marv downstairs. Baruch to
you.
Adava Chorav. But I hope it was nice in time of Shvach and nice in time of God.